Coming up, we're logging into the most magical place on Earth. No fast passes needed, just your parents' permission before playing online. It's Virtual Magic Kingdom, and this is Most Extreme Podcast.
To Most Extreme Podcast, the show where we discuss and analyze the magic that is 2000s pop culture and web browser games. I'm Brett Ellison.
I'm Alejandro Joaquin.
And I'm Jarrett Whitworth.
And today we're talking everything Virtual Magic Kingdom. That's right. You're continuing the trend on Most Extreme Podcast of talking about theme parks but not actually talking about theme parks. So what's a better way to talk about with VMK, as it's better known. So very exciting. Everybody doing okay? Is everyone feeling all right?
Well, if we can't get sidetracked with theme parks, what are we going to get sidetracked with during this episode?
Good question. What else do we normally talk about? You normally SpongeBob? Like to bring up SpongeBob or the movie Elf or Home Alone.
Some McDonald's tie-in.
Yeah, some kid's meal that has to go in with VMK, but we'll talk about that maybe coming up. If you want to talk about anything theme parks, just listen to Podcast The Ride. They're better at their job than we are. So everyone check out that podcast. But yeah, very exciting. And here to talk about it is a very, very special guest. He is the director of Live from the Space Stage, A Halix Story, which you can watch now on the Defunct Land YouTube channel. Ladies and gentlemen, Matthew Serrano is joining us.
Hello. What's up?
How are you
Thank
doing,
you for
man?
That intro. I'm doing good.
Yeah, well, I'm very excited to talk about you with this topic because it's something that all three of us, when we were discussing and doing research, don't have any background on. And so so it's very interesting to have somebody come in with a different take, which is really exciting. But yeah, would you be able, I don't know if you want to start out this way, would you be able to maybe summarize for those who don't know maybe what VMK is?
Sure. Okay. So everyone knows what Disneyland is, obviously, over in Anaheim, California. So around, I want to say like 2005, I believe, was when they had their 50th anniversary celebration as a kind of loose tie-in, but not really, with that 50th anniversary celebration. Because the weird thing about like Disneyland is like when they hit like a decade, they'll celebrate that decade for like, it'll sometimes feel like 2 years.
Until the next
like
decade.
Like the 60th anniversary like really felt like a 60 to 62 year celebration, and the 50th anniversary was the same way, where they would just do big rollouts over the next year and a half, 2 years of like stuff associated with that promotion. So with the 50th anniversary, one of the most random things that they did, and it ended up being so cool, was they got this team of producers who worked on, it was like another Flash MMO, and I don't know the name of it, but when you look at it, it looks exactly like the style of VMK. So you can clearly tell that it's the same team. But they basically looked at, you know, okay, so there's Webkinz, there's Club Penguin, there's all these different popular Flash-based MMOs going on. Let's make one where you can go to Disneyland, except it wasn't Disneyland. It was this weird fusion of like all of the parks. So like you would walk in, you know, walk in, you would go on VMK and it would look like, oh, here, this looks like Disneyland, but this looks like Magic Kingdom.
Right.
Oh, well, this looks like Disneyland. Oh, but this kind of looks like Animal Kingdom. You know, there was a weird fusion of like everything. And there'd be also like, you know, stuff from Disneyland's past, but then also stuff from Disneyland today. And then also like, here's a creative liberty that we took. So it was this really weird, unique experience that was kind of like a Disneyland fever dream that you could hop on and play with your friends. And it only lasted like, I want to say not even 2 years. And I guess we'll get more into that later, but it was actually a big deal when it closed down.
Oh, yeah. No, we'll definitely talk about that coming up. Oh, so yeah. Did you play it a lot growing up? Was that something that you grew up playing in the 2000s?
So here's the funny thing about VMK. My VMK experience, I did have like a VMK experience in the parks, and I did play it a lot as a kid, but honestly, I feel like I would have played it more if it weren't for the fact that my computer at the time was horrible and my internet was terrible, and I could not even load into the game. I would sit there for an hour just to load in sometimes. So didn't get to play it as much as I would like to, but, and we'll get into this later. Sorry, I'm like jumping ahead so
no,
much.
No, we always are jumping around. It's fine.
But like, I did honestly like play, I racked up hours now post, I want to say 2014, when a team of independent game producers brought back VMK. They found like old files and they recreated stuff. And there's a website called myvmk.com that is an amazing recreation of the game. And I've played hours and hours of VMK over there.
My VMK is still around, everybody, if you want to check out. We're going to be calling it VMK for everybody listening home instead of Virtual Magic Kingdom a lot, because it's a lot easier to say.
And you know, yeah, My Virtual Magic Kingdom. You know, on My Virtual Magic Kingdom, if you go to Tomorrowland, you can actually go to the space stage and you can watch a Helix concert.
What?
Whoa.
Oh, man. Bringing back Helix.
Oh.
So I actually like reached out to the producers of that game and I was like, hey, would you want to do maybe like a tie-in with Defunctland? And they're like, sure. And so over the course of a month, we worked on like this little secret side project where they created like, now it's a permanent installation in their game where you can go into a little secret entrance inside the Space Mountain Terminal, and it'll take you to a recreation of the space stage. And they created all the characters in the style of VMK, and we had a concert. Wow. And it was so crazy. I think they did it back in, I want to say, November. I have like video of it. A lot of other people did screen recordings of it. I think someone posted on YouTube, if you look up like VMK Helix concert. But you can see like there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people online. Nice. And they stuffed the stage. They packed it to the point where the server got overloaded and they had to create a second stage for people to go to. It was nuts. And it was like a dream come true for me.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Did they use the same songs from Helix, or was it, how did they just use like the covers that you guys made, or?
Yeah, since I was like, well, no one's going to sue us if we use the music here. I was just like, here's the best rips that we have of like the original audio tape. Cause someone brought a cassette tape to one of their performances and years later posted it on YouTube. And for a while, it was actually the only accessible way to listen to Helix music on YouTube was these three audio recordings from this one tape recorder.
Man, that's crazy. So everybody go find that person if you want the rip. Or no, you can look on YouTube.
And I just looked it up. Yeah, there's a ton of videos on YouTube.
Wow.
That have this. Or it looks like there's one that's like live at the Tomorrowland stage, full concert.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I think that's what we need, is like a full like Coachella-esque experience with Helix on VMK.
So the energy on VMK was awesome that night. It was super fun.
The crowd surfing, it was nuts, man. Well, I guess we can sort of get into a little bit of sort of how the concept and beginnings of, which, Matt, you talked about a little bit. I have some notes sort of how it started. I do want to shout out the YouTube channel Expedition Theme Park. They did a video on sort of the whole history of this. You guys had time to watch it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, fantastic YouTube channel. Definitely check it out. Gives sort of an
love
example.
Love his YouTube channel.
Yes. So shout out to Expedition Theme Park if you're listening. Fantastic videos, especially about like sort of the virtual stuff that Disney was doing. But yeah, as you said, Matt, it was part of this happiest homecoming on Earth. It's not like your high school homecoming that was done at Disneyland. It was an 18-month-long celebration. So yeah, Disney likes to party. It was May 5th, 2005 through September 30th, 2006. It was the 50th anniversary. It was basically, yeah, I like to think of it as in 2010 when the New Orleans Saints won the Super Bowl, they pretty much partied for an entire year. And it's pretty much the same idea. So, and they're still partying to this day. If you go down to Nolens, I'm pretty sure nobody calls it Nolens.
No, people call it that.
No, it's like, do you think people in the Big Apple say, like, welcome to the Big Apple, or like, Hotlanta, or La La Land. Matt, do people do you use La La Land in regular talk?
I have not heard a single person call it La La Land except for some people who don't live here.
The tourists.
Exactly. It's a tourist thing. Just call it that. So yeah, same. So everybody listening in, if you're still celebrating the 2010 win of the New Orleans Saints, email us at Most Extreme Podcast and tell us about your experience.
Get a shirt.
Same way that I'm sure that probably no child called it My Virtual Magic Kingdom, even though we will be calling it that on this podcast.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so the happiest celebration on Earth was commemorated 50 years of Disneyland specifically, but the milestone was kind of celebrated throughout all the Disney parks around the globe. So it's really just the 50 years of Disneyland, but it's just like, hey, we're going to celebrate it everywhere. So it's kind of like celebrating the birthday of the Eiffel Tower. And then you're like, oh, there's one in Las Vegas. All right, we're going to celebrate it here, too.
Yeah.
any Eiffel Towers, Legoland, you got one? All right, we're celebrating it there, too. Anyone?
Brett, what is the most recent Disney park
to be built?
The newest one is Shanghai Disneyland.
Shanghai Disneyland 2016.
How? Yeah. 2016. Wow.
Yeah. That was part of the Bob Iger. But as we'll talk about in a bit, Michael Eisner in his reign opened, I think, 7 theme parks in his time. Yeah. Whoa. Not all of them were hits, but we'll talk about that coming up.
Lots of great stuff came out of the 50th anniversary. The two that come to mind immediately that probably had the most impact on me as a kid going to the parks was the Buzz Lightyear Astro Blasters ride, which I still love. I love that ride. I think that it's honestly one of the best dark rides that Disneyland has in terms of dark rides based off of an animated property. And then Remember Dreams Come True fireworks show, which in my opinion is the best fireworks show of all time.
Yeah, no, was I, if I'm remembering this right, was the Buzz Lightyear ride originally at Magic Kingdom and then went to Disneyland second? Is that correct?
Yes, but it's not a clone. It's like similar, but the Disneyland one is definitely has a different style.
Okay.
And I, from what I've seen, I haven't actually ridden the Magic Kingdom one, but I prefer the Disneyland one.
Gotcha. No, I get it. But yeah, so they kind of wanted this year-long celebration around the world. So they created the virtual representation of Disneyland style theme parks containing areas and mini games, which is VMK, and based off of sort of a hybrid of, like Matt was saying. So the main areas in the game are Main Street USA, Adventureland, New Orleans Square, Frontierland, Fantasyland, Tomorrowland. So getting your standard sort of the Disneyland layout, and yet sometimes they might add different bits and pieces from Disney parks all around and putting it together.
A good example of that is what confused the hell out of me as a kid, but now makes a whole lot of sense as an adult, was I always wondered, why is Splash Mountain in Frontierland? Because I would explore around in the game and you'd get into the back corner of Frontierland and all of a sudden Splash Mountain was there. And I was like, what? Why is that here? Come to find out years later that Splash Mountain is located in Frontierland over in Magic Kingdom.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they don't have Critter Country in Florida.
Right.
Where's the area? Okay,
so that's a good example of, the fusion that they had.
Right. Real quick for our other, for Jared and Alejandro, have you all been to Disneyland?
Yeah. I've been to Disney World twice and Disneyland once.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've not been to Disneyland.
You've been to Disney World, right?
I've been to Disney World. Yeah.
Oh, you're missing out.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to confess, too, that I have also not been to Disneyland. As much as a huge theme park I have been. However, and I know this
you guys
is
missing out.
I know. I'm so jealous of all of you. I should say, though, and I know this has never come up on the podcast before, but when I lived in Japan,
That's another sidetrack thing.
I've been to Tokyo Disneyland multiple times.
Jealous. Wow.
So, Matt, and if you ever... Yes, many times. Matt, if you ever come to Tokyo, I will take you. We will go. I will show you everything about Disney Sea. It's the best.
Aw, bless up.
Whoa.
I think it's kind of strange, though, that they called it Virtual Magic Kingdom when essentially we're celebrating Disneyland and not Disney World. So I don't know technically why they called it that. Maybe just because VMK sound better.
Yeah.
It flows a little better.
Yeah. It's also interesting because it's all the parks. So it's not even just Disney World or Disneyland. Right. It's worldwide the Disney parks.
Right. But I guess another reasoning why they did it too is because like they'll refer to like Disneyland, Magic Kingdom, Tokyo Disneyland, like all of those like the base parks, because you know how all these resorts have like their secondary parks, like Tokyo right. has Tokyo Disney Sea, or like mm-hmm. Paris has like the Studios Park. We have California Adventure. They call like the baseline park like the Castle Park, or sometimes they'll just generically refer to those as like, I think sometimes they'll call them like Magic Kingdom parks, because they call it the Magic Kingdom. They don't call it Walt Disney World. Like that one park in Florida is the Magic Kingdom. And then they also refer to Disneyland as Magic Kingdom. So I think it's a little right. bit of that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you got like Epcot, and you've got MGM or Disney Hollywood Studios. So yeah. So sort of going off of that, in terms of how they were promoting sort of this homecoming event, I do have a video. This is taken from the Disney Vacation Club planning DVD. This appears to be a promotional video for the Happiest Homecoming on Earth celebration that took place in 2005. I'm going to screen share this real quick with y'all, because I want you guys to see sort of, I'm going to have it on mute, but sort of what they were trying to accomplish. So here we have sort of an idea of, oh, wow, you know, everyone's having a great time. And if you need more of a god complex of Walt Disney,
here's a face. Oh, whoa. I remember seeing that one.
Wow.
Of basically like a Mufasa in the sky of him looking over my park. Oh, what a great land.
Remember me. Yes.
That is a choice. Wow. I love that so much.
He's seriously like just a face of a silhouette of Walt Disney looking down at the people looking at him like, look what I've done. Yeah, so Disney connected with a company called the Sulake Developers, who created a web game, an MMO game called Habbo, which Habbo. Was to create sort of something for the event. They were like, listen, we like what you're doing. Let's build something like that. But yeah, let's talk a little bit about sort of the uniqueness of VMK, sort of what made it different than any other sort of the very big 2000s thing of web flash multiplayer games.
Well, let me tell you the coolest part about VMK, and this will definitely answer your question.
Go for it.
So the coolest thing about VMK is like, and the closest thing you get to this is like Webkinz, where, you know, you go to the store and you buy a physical Webkinz, you come home and you put a code in, and then boom, there it is in your game. Right. VMK took that a step further, where I remember when I was a kid walking around Tomorrowland, all of a sudden in front of the Interventions building, I saw there was a VMK booth, and there was a cast member that would work at that booth, and you could go up to the cast member, and the cast member would go, okay, so in order for me to give you a prize, like, you have to answer this question. And he gave us like a question card, and he was like, you can take all day to think about the answer.
Whoa.
And come back to the booth, and if you answer correctly, I'll give you a card.
Oh, wow.
So he gives us the card, and I remember it was like me and my mom and my sister, and it was like, which of these is not a seven dwarf? And they had like four options, and then, you know, they all sounded like they could be seven dwarves. And so we basically spent the whole day at Disneyland, like, we would be in line, and we would pull up the card, and we would go, are we sure it's this one? Yeah, we're positive. And then hours later, you know, we made our way back to Tomorrowland. We gave him the card, and he was like, yeah, you got it. And he gave me this like little card that I remember exactly what it was. It was a Mickey Mouse projector. It looked like a vintage projector.
Oh, wow.
And it was an item that I could put the code in later and redeem and put into my room in VMK.
Wow.
So, and that blew my mind as a kid. That's insane. The coolest thing ever.
Yeah, for sure. How was Disneyland, Matt? Oh, I spent the whole day on a bench trying to figure out which one wasn't a seven dwarf. <Yeah. laughs>
And I got a virtual projector.
Yeah, that's something that I think is super unique to VMK. It's essentially the idea of, like you were saying, is being able to get exclusive items that you can gain in the parks from a VNK type booth. And a lot of it was done through these things that they had. There had quests, VMK quests that you could do in the park. So they kind of, and it can be depending on like a land, or they could be as part of a ride. So here, for example, is the one for Pirates of the Caribbean Treasure Hunt. And for example, the idea is that you have to answer all of them correctly.
Oh my God, this is taking me back.
So you have like questions of like, how many keys is the dog holding in the jail? Or, you know, which, or like which boats is like the name. So it's, you don't have to do it on the right. You're not timed at all. It's like, just bring it back.
And the and
big
the,
splash,
and it
gets
like
wet and all that.
Oh no.
It was scary because like, you know, this was before the age of like having Google in your pocket,
right,
where you could be like, oh, well, I'm just going to like look this up. Like, no, you actually had to work together with the people that you were with to like figure out all the answers. It was really fun.
I was about to say that your story was really charming in that it was like, yeah, take all the time you need and like go and enjoy, yeah, and maybe even talk to another human about it.
Mm-hmm. But excuse me, do you know
exactly?
Yeah. It's Goofy, like he just shrugs his shoulders. Sure. Yeah, so there's a really cool one for Pirates of the Caribbean. They've done it for all tons of different parks. They even have one for the Finding Nemo submarine ride, which for those who don't know is a ride where you go inside a submarine and just kind of move around a little like aquarium.
Yeah, so I've been on that ride.
Okay, that's downplaying it a little bit.
I'm trying to like,
you know, you get in a thing and you move around a little aquarium thing.
Yeah,
I'm trying,
yeah,
to like,
you know, Haunted
very
Mansion.
Basic.
It's just a ride where you get in a box and you ride around in a dark box.
Yeah, you see a ghost.
Brett doesn't that's really me. Like rides, so he was just underselling.
No, yeah, I'm definitely not wearing an I'm not wearing a Mount Everest t-shirt right now. I don't care about any of this stuff.
Oh, Expedition Everest, nice.
That is,
but
a
yeah.
good ride.
That shirt is rad, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, Matt, so I think the cool idea... Where, sorry, were you going to say something?
I was just going to say, could you pick what quest, like, or what question you got? Or
I think,
from what I recall, I think they just had different quests based on the day. Because there are also mm-hmm. different quests inside the game as well. Like, they would be like, go talk to Harold the Yeti in the Matterhorn, which, like, I guess we'll get into characters later.
Well, Matt, the answer is obviously B.
They're lemon.
Just saying.
Yeah, don't worry. It's lemon.
Never go out in a blizzard. I think these are really cool. The idea of having these, like quest things that you could do, because this is honestly something that, if the parks open up like at Disneyland, I would totally do again just for fun. Like, you know, try to do them in a timed area. It's like, oh, we're on Mr. Toad's and we only have like a few seconds. We got to do this really quick.
Right.
It's crazy that like at Galaxy's Edge, they promise like so much like interactive based stuff. And they promise right. like having this like big interactive game. And like y'all were doing this in 2005. How can you not do it now?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
How
yeah.
can you not have a quest booth in Galaxy's Edge? Like, that's crazy to me. Because,
yeah.
like, the stuff they have on the app is, like, whatever. Because the thing is, like, it's not like we're in VMK. You actually get a real reward.
Right, and you can use it in game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, especially, we'll talk about sort of the death of VMK coming later on, but the idea of, oh, we want to be able to have all these other interactive experiences that you can be doing without the park. And that they've continued to say that and not brought it back. Did you guys ever know or hear, Matt, you might know about this, the Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom thing that just died out?
Yes.
So for those who don't know, the best way I can probably describe it in layman's terms, as I have with other rides, is basically what it would be is that there are different portals, i.e. like TV screens throughout the park. And you would get basically like a deck of cards, almost like you know, Pokemon or Yu-Gi-Oh type thing. And the idea is that you would battle Disney villains scattered around the park using the cards and battling them. And you could continue to play this or you could play it all in one round. It was really cool. It just died out, unfortunately, in 2021, but it looked really rad.
Super cool and so sad I will never get to try it.
Yeah.
Because I always have wanted to try it. Because, yeah, exactly. It looked like the next step of what VMK was doing.
Right.
That was a physical in the park thing that you did?
Right.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah,
so like for example, you could be walking through Main Street and you know how they'll have like window displays? Mm-hmm. Well, all of a sudden one window display will like suddenly like, oh, like Jafar from Aladdin is in the window and he's fighting you. Mm. Or like you'd walk into the back of like a gift shop somewhere and like a portal would open up. It was really
cool.
They like hid them nicely too.
Right.
So it
was
like
Yeah, it wasn't like you'd be on the Haunted Mansion and all of a sudden, you found me.
It's Although me. They also did something, speaking of Haunted Mansion, they also did something recently in the last few years with Haunted Mansion where it was a similar thing where you would have to go to the park and do secret tasks. And that was a really cool thing too.
Yeah.
It was a Haunted Mansion box that you would get. I think you got it once a week, like every new box. The finale is really cool. I won't spoil all the stuff that happens throughout, but definitely like look up like Haunted Mansion box, I think. And you should find there's YouTube videos of people going through and doing it. But the coolest part was when you did all of your tasks and you've got to the final box, you had to go to Disneyland and you had to ride Haunted Mansion. And the way the Haunted Mansion works is it's one continuous looping track. But right. the thing is, there's just a dark hallway between where you have to get off and then where people are loading on. So what it did was like your phone or whatever would like do something where like you would have to show it to a cast member and the cast member would let you ride through that dark hallway, which Whoa. No one ever rides through. And as you rode through, your phone would have all the ghosts shouting to you like, oh, you did it. You saved us. You helped us. Whoa. You helped us out. Thank you so much. That's super cool. Like such a cool payoff to that experience.
It's really interesting that they incentivize like to go back to the park or to, you know,
right.
Totally.
It's interesting.
Yeah. I think so it's going back sort of with VNK. So a lot of people who've now played it, very similar to a lot of like other MMOs, massive multiplayer online games, is very much you create an avatar character and you explore different parts of the you know, this virtual Magic Kingdom. I don't know if it's just my computer, but looking at like the default faces for all the avatars, it makes everyone look like a potato. If you look at it very carefully, it's like, oh, is everyone sick or is like what's going on here? Also, just like sort of how the layout is, very similar to something like early versions of The Sims or like Roller Coaster Tycoon games or like. It was sort of built in like a, what's called an isometric projection. So like how the camera's painted, or it's like how you're looking at an angle. So it's like you're looking at it from above, but sort of at an angle. That's the isometric projection, each with a different theme for every room.
I didn't know that style of like game presentation had a name.
Yeah. That's just I think it's more of a, geometry term.
I always think of it as like the Roller Coaster Tycoon view.
Right, which we will get to. We're doing that topic. Just worry. Stay tuned, guys.
Where, like, you're kind of a god, like, floating over, but you can only look in diagonals. Yeah. You can't look flat.
I just had to put it in isometric projection because, a little backstory, Jarrett was my geometry tutor in high school, and that's how we know each other.
That's right.
Wow.
So
wild.
Yeah, so that's, and then, I mean, we knew each other before that, but he tutored me.
And one of these days, we'll get you to pass that final.
Guys, I'm still Finally, in high school.
Graduate.
So for each room, essentially, you could only have up to 15 people playing and occupy a room at a time. If a player tried to enter a guest room or sort of like the chat room, which already contained 15 characters, you would move into a queue and wait to enter.
So there are how many people playing this game all at one time? 15 people in a room doesn't seem like that many.
Right.
So are
so
you
it
just
seems like
spending a ton of time waiting all the time?
Yep, that's what I did as a kid.
Yep.
Just virtually like, so are you excited to get in the room?
Oh, literally, I would be like on my mom's phone, like calling my friend in elementary school who would also be on his mom's phone. I'd be like, Jacob, are you near Alice in Wonderland? Are you near? No. Oh, you're loading into Fantasyland? Okay.
sort of when you actually lose a friend at the park. Like, hey, where are you again?
Yeah. Did it give you a number, like what number you were in the line?
No.
Because if you and your friend were like 17 places away, you're like, oh, dang it. Like, we're not even going to be in at the same.
Dude, it's like actually waiting. They did that.
Wow.
So players whose characters met in the same room at the same time could become friends after meeting. One issued an invitation to the other. The other accepted. Then each player would always be able to see what the other was doing online and what in-game location. And you could jump instantly to the other friend's location if you needed to. Either player could remove someone from his or her friends at any time. So yeah, it's very similar to sort of, yeah, that like, oh, we're meeting online and this is really fun and we get to do it here at a fake version of Disneyland. But
so it's cool. Is this the idea that Zuckerberg stole then? It might not have been. Sounds kind of similar. Maybe not from those other twins or whatever, but
things are lining up here. I don't know.
I missed that scene in The Social Network.
Yeah.
Sorkin was like, nah. So that's what we need. If you want to contact the producers of My V&K to add The Social Network, Trent Reznor, Atticus Ross themes going on.
Yes.
Then they get the real deal. I do have one more video to kind of show you. This is part of the promotion for it. This is when they're talking about VMK is going to be the most exciting theme park, the most popular.
Sizzle reel.
All the thrills.
Whoa, there's a sizzle reel for VMK?
That's
what?
Right.
We're going in the grid.
We're going in.
The it's game grid. Bold.
One thing that the announcer likes to say is that it's going to have all the thrills of Disneyland. Is that true? I mean, is this the thrills of Disneyland all online? Like,
you just hold your hands up at home.
Yeah.
Woo!
Set up a fan right next.
Jacob, honestly, are you in Alice in Wonderland?
Honestly, the best part about VMK was not that, like, in any way that it tried to capture the feeling of Disneyland, but just that it was such a unique take on it. And the art style was so cool. And it was so fun and imaginative how it envisioned. It was almost like their thought process was almost like, what if there were truly no limits to like building a theme park? If there were no limits, how would Walt have designed Disneyland? Because you look at Frontierland, it's like, okay, whatever. It looks like the Wild West. But when you go into the VMK one, it's actually all dirt.
Right.
So you're like, oh, okay. And then, you know, Main Street looks like Main Street. Adventureland is like fully a jungle. And the coolest are that they took the craziest liberties on are Fantasyland and Tomorrowland. Tomorrowland right. was my favorite land back in the day. And it was so cool the way they envisioned it, where like to get from one ride to another, you got to travel. You got to do a spacewalk. Or if you want to get to, you know, the Nautilus, you got to take a teleporter.
Right.
Those details were really cool and like got my creative juices flowing like crazy when I was a kid.
Right. I think the art style is really cool, especially from that Expedition theme park video. I think the one thing that makes it look weird is like, why does everyone's face look like a potato chip?
Oh, totally. Yeah. I always hated the faces.
Right.
It translates well into the characters, I feel like. I don't feel like the characters look bad.
No, yeah.
Like when you see like, you know, like the Yeti, or when you see Jack Sparrow or Shrunken Ned.
Right. So another thing that makes it sort of similar to like a Webkinz or something like that is the guest rooms. Matt, would you be able to kind of explain what that was?
Sure. The guest rooms were essentially exactly what they are, like I think in pretty much every single MMO, except at the time. But what was cool about VMKs was and I don't know how people were able to do this, but people were actually able to like create their own dark rides in some instances.
Yeah,
because it was weird the way that they created the dark rides, because the only dark rides that you could go on were Alice in Wonderland and Peter Pan. Everything else was like a game. So for example, like Pirates of the Caribbean was a game, Haunted Mansion was a game, Jungle Cruise, that was a game too. But in Fantasyland, they actually had the rides, quote unquote, the rides. And they used the same like coding for the guest rooms that they did for those rides. And so they basically were just like, okay, well, when you make your guest room, if you want to make a ride, like we already have, you know, the interface and the tech to do that. So people would make their own spaces for people to hang out and chat room. But then also, yeah, people had crazy rides that they would build in there. And I never got to explore any of those because my computer would barely load in like Fantasyland and Tomorrowland as it was. But it's interesting now to go onto MyVMK to see some of the rooms that people have made. People have done some really elaborate stuff in there.
For sure, yeah. So basically, if you're playing the game and you won credits/points, you were able to kind of customize your room with prizes and stuff to make your room kind of your unique space.
It was intimidating back then too, because like you could choose your backdrop and your theme. And yeah, very quickly I learned about budgeting because I was like, okay, if I want to get this space couch, but it's not going to look good if I don't have the space background. But what am I going to have? Just one big empty room? Oh man, what do I do? Time to go back to the quest room and grind.
Time to invest.
Yeah.
That's why I'm thinking, like, did these MMOs start because people wanted to teach kids about, like, financial planning? Because it seems like all these kids' cash, what am I supposed to do with it? Also, we're getting to Webkinz. We've gotten a lot of emails recently. When are you going to do Webkinz? Okay, it's coming, people. It's coming. No worries. Also, yeah, we talked about this at the beginning of the year, but somebody did, whoever you are, signed up to the Most Extreme Podcast Gmail account for Scientology emails. Just putting you out there again, whoever you are.
It was Tom Cruise.
It was Tom Cruise is a huge fan of the show. Also, if you signed up for VMK at the theme parks, you would get an extra bonus room, which was different than sort of also. So we're going off the quest stuff you could exclusively get.
What? I wish that the guy there told me that. That's amazing.
Hey, you need an extra room for all your space couches? We got you.
I would have taken full advantage of that. I could have saved money on not having to, like, buy stuff for the room. Damn.
Yeah. So sort of going into a lot of the, like you were talking about, sort of the mini games and stuff that you could do. There's a ton and tons of mini games that are available in Virtual Magic Kingdom. The big one that it looks like was the Pirates of the Caribbean one.
Yeah, that was definitely the biggest one.
It's basically you would have 2 to 8 players on 2 teams, and you would ship battle each other and try to sink each other's ships. It reminded me, this is not a perfect example, but it kind of eerily similar to like the Civilization games. Like
yes, Civ 5. It does kind of have that look to it a little bit.
Jarrett, you're seem confused.
No, I'm just reading along here.
Okay.
Have you played Civ? I've seen it played. I've played.
Okay.
I've watched someone over their shoulder.
Right.
Civ 5 is also one of my favorite games ever.
All right.
Yeah, played it last night, actually.
Okay. Yeah. Once the game was over, both teams were rewarded different credits for their efforts. After every 3 wins in 1 level, I'm getting this from the Wikipedia. A player received a treasure chest magic key that would open a chest corresponding to the level on which the player won the key. And the prizes were rewarded from a list randomly chosen of pirate-related prizes that correspond to the level. Pretty sweet. It looked basically you could just run around your ship in a giant like area and try to like battle each other. It looks pretty rad. Is that still on my VMK?
Yes, they do have that game. Another game that they just recently added, which they took a long time to bring back, was the Haunted Mansion game.
Mm. Yeah. Which
that had a cool vibe to it because, you know, they, like I was saying, you know, they got so creative with this game. They basically were like, well, what would a Haunted Mansion game be? I know, Luigi's Mansion. So it's yeah, it's basically Luigi's Mansion, like where you're just sucking up ghosts and stuff. And it's interesting because the Haunted Mansion movie kind of influenced the aesthetic a little bit.
That's what I was thinking.
It's more focused. It's more because like I think Haunted Mansion movie was like 2003, and this came out 2 years later.
Right.
So when you look at the game, the Haunted Mansion game specifically, it definitely does lean more towards the movie than the park.
And that's not always a good aesthetic. For those who haven't seen the movie, Jarrett, I know I have definitely shared with you the end credits theme for that many times.
That's Eddie Murphy, right?
The Eddie Murphy one.
Yeah, no, it's the end credit song, I believe, it's Nelly singing over the People Courts theme.
Yeah, oh my gosh. I remember you showing me this. I don't remember.
I was like, you'll never guess what movie this is from.
My girlfriend loves that movie and gets so mad every time that I trash on it.
Okay. There's some like pretty interesting stuff. Like that scene is like really cool.
Oh, but the mausoleum scene is like genuinely one of the best horror scenes ever. It's amazing.
It's really rad. But at the same time, it does feel like, hey, you know what we did with Pirates of the Caribbean? Well, we've got to do it with Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I have it on VHS. I have it in a sealed case, so I'm in my collection. So
it's framed.
God, that's gonna go for so much money one day.
I know. Well, I can't wait. There's another cool games. Jungle Cruise Photos of Safari. Basically, you piloted a safari boat and took photos of animals while trying to avoid different obstacles. After playing the first game, 20 credits were awarded per game, no matter what the player's score was after playing it the first time.
And that game is Pokemon Snap, basically.
I was about to say, it's very similar to Pokemon Snap.
There you go.
It's actually my favorite of all the BMK games, just because it's the easiest one. It's the most relaxed one.
Right. It looks fun. Yeah, it looks very much like just try to snap some pictures. It seems very, very eerily similar to Pokemon Snap.
Now I'm really into in Tomorrowland. There's like a weird like you go in like a portal and it takes you to like an external window. And there's like three mini games that like aren't even in the BMK game. They're like on the side. And one of those mini games is themed to the 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea movie.
Yes.
And you basically have to, it's like a puzzle game where you have to like navigate like the sea diver out of like this like square area, and there's all these traps and stuff. I discovered that game like right around the start of quarantine, and that has been a comfort game that I come back to a lot, where I'll literally log onto my BMK and I'll be like, all right, time to play the Nautilus puzzle game.
Yeah. I do want to shout out, I guess, one last mini game that I thought was really cool was the Castle Fireworks Remix game, where it's essentially like you create your own best version of a fireworks show. And then you would have to correct on certain symbols to detonate, and you would get different credits and also pins, which are something that you could use for your player's performance.
It sounds cool in theory, but it confused the hell out of me as a kid. And
oh, really?
It still confuses me now.
Okay. I did see it going back to sort of how
that was another popular one, though.
Oh, sure. I looked really popular. It looks like at one point during the Expedition theme park video, it looks like they're doing it over the Space Mountain from Disneyland Paris, which if some of you don't know,
is a
sequel ride of Space Mountain. It's Space Mountain 2, people.
Wow.
What? Tell us everything about it. What makes it a sequel?
So cool.
So Space Mountain is sort of the classic version of the indoor dark theme park roller coaster. So
by the way,
it feels like you're going fast,
quick,
but you're really not going that fast.
He really, says it's a sequel to Space Mountain, he really means it. Like when it first opened, it was called Space Mountain Mission 2.
Wow.
That was the name of the ride when it first opened.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Love that.
So basically it feels like you're going more fast than you really are in the normal Space Mountain. You're not going that fast, but they're using sounds and projections to make it feel like you're going that
fast. They're blasting air on you. Spoilers. Or
exactly.
A little behind the magic.
Space Mountain Mission 2 is a full launch coaster that does loops and corkscrews in the dark. Crazy. Yeah.
In Paris, because you know how like pretty much at every single like Magic Kingdom park, they'll have like Fantasyland, Tomorrowland, Frontierland, like all the basics.
Your standards. Yeah.
Disneyland Paris, the Imagineer who oversaw that, his name's Tony Baxter. He worked on rides like the Indiana Jones Adventure and Big Thunder Mountain. They basically gave him that park and they're like, do whatever you want with that park. And so when he oversaw it, he was like, you know, there's a thing that Imagineering calls the Tomorrowland problem, where basically Tomorrowland is constantly getting itself outdated. So when they built Disneyland Paris, they just thought, you know what, screw it. Instead of theming it to Tomorrowland, let's theme it to what people envisioned our future would be in the past. So they went to the novels of like H.G. Wells and they pulled from that. Mm. And so it's basically steampunk.
It's very Jules Verne.
That's pretty cool.
Very Jules Verne, very H.G. Wells.
Honestly, I've not been to Disneyland Paris. I've driven a train by it. I didn't drive the train.
You have driven a train? Let's stop right there. I think that's the more exciting part of that story.
So I had my train license. No, I was on a train, and you can clearly see it if going from the Paris airport. It's not that far away. But very much there's a lot of discovery that you can do. It's called Discovery Land, not Tomorrowland. Like you can find Captain Nemo's part of the submarine from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Which is in VMK.
Yeah, also in VMK. I think this is also in VMK in the Cinderella's Castle.
I was going
to
mention
the castle at Disneyland Paris. If you go down to the basement of it, you will find a giant animatronic dragon that like breathes steam at you, and then it's just there. So they have a lot of like cool stuff like that they also put in the BMK. So
that's
thank
really
you, Tony
cool.
Baxter, for all this that you made. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, so I imagine me as a kid already being a huge Disneyland geek and then going, wait, where does this lead to? You can't go underneath the castle thinking like, you know, Disneyland's the only park that exists, and then going down there and seeing a dragon and going, huh, that's weird. Years later, doing research on Disneyland Paris and then finding out that there's an actual giant animatronic dragon, like, blew my mind.
Exactly.
Mm. Kind of like the Diagon Alley. Is that what it's called?
Diagon Alley.
A little bit.
Yeah.
But except like, that this one's hidden.
Tapping on the bricks.
Yeah.
But probably the same size, and like you can actually stand right in front of it.
Jeez.
Yeah. Wow. That one's more of a statue that breathes fire. This one's like a moving animatronic, which is
it's
really cool.
Scary. It's impressive. It's really, really impressive.
A lot of cool detail. But I wanted to sort of talk about Disney parks sort of during this time in the 2000s, because it's a very strange time in Disney history.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because we're right at the end of CEO Michael Eisner's reign, and sort of, you know, he's done a ton for the parks, and he's also done a lot of interesting stuff, but it's sort of this part period of where Pixar was sort of becoming bigger than actual Walt Disney Animation. And they talk a lot about this in, if you've ever seen on Disney Plus, The Imagineering Story. Matt, have you seen that? What do you think? Do you like it?
I think it's all right. I think that it's as good as it can get for something that is basically a huge, like, propaganda piece.
Right. It's Disney making a documentary about themselves, and they do a good job of sort of addressing their problems, but I was impressed by that.
Yeah.
Yeah. They do mention a lot, so definitely check it out. But I definitely wanted to hear your take, since you're, of course, a theme park documentarian, and sort of your thoughts on that. But yeah. But yeah, it's interesting because Walt Disney Animation around this time was making like movies like Home on the Range and like
Chicken
Valiant,
Little.
Chicken Little. I don't know if any of you noticed, but in the theme park exhibition theme park video, during there's a click on where you can see the sci-fi dine-in hub has a picture of Chicken Little in the movie theater. Hmm. So they were really promoting that everywhere.
I don't know if you guys have ever seen this, and I'll see if I can throw this into the chat so you guys can all see
this. I think I know exactly what you're
talking
about.
You should look up the giant inflatable Chicken Little.
So right here.
They had one in Florida, and then, yep, in California Adventure.
That's a subtle way to promote your movie.
Yeah. So I know we're only a couple weeks away from the Godzilla versus Kong movie that's coming out. But I don't want to spoil anything too ahead of time, but there might be a third giant monster that shows up in this movie.
Wow.
Kick off the Chicken Little extended universe.
Yes.
I would love that.
A giant, like it's Zach Braff's voice still, just like, hello.
I was going to ask you, voice Chicken Little. Is that crap?
So yeah, Chicken Little. If go back and watch that movie, because it's something, but it's definitely not, you know, the classic Disney that we remember. I'm saying that, and now I'm realizing we have Disney fans are vicious. We're going to get nasty emails like, "Hey, I love Chicken Little. That's the best one. It's my favorite movie."
I never saw it. I never saw any of those that you listed there. Home on the Range. I might have seen Home on the Range, but not Chicken Little and not Valiant.
Oh, I was such a huge Disney fan that I just ate every single movie that they put out. So I watched those so many times.
When you're young enough, it's just you're like, I don't care.
Yeah, I'm like, the animation looks nice, I guess.
That's what happened with me. They were coming out as I was growing up, so I saw those just because, like, that's what was out at that time.
Are you a huge Chicken Little fan, Alejandro?
I'm not, but I do have a plush of Chicken Little somewhere in my
Really?
Yeah.
And you didn't bring it to this interview? Damn.
I didn't know it was gonna come up.
Yeah, no, it's totally fine. Yes. But yeah, Chicken Little, now on Disney Plus? Question mark.
No, on Disney Plus.
Chicken Little was he's a summon in Kingdom Hearts 2. That's the most experience I have with Chicken
what?
Little.
What? He is?
That's pretty much all you have to know.
I never used him.
He's kind of weak.
I really got what he...
You're too scared.
Yeah, I don't know. He would be too powerful.
He brings upon the end of the world.
You just go straight to the end credits. All right, you win.
Not to spoil Godzilla versus Kong, but that's how they end
the
battle.
That's how it ends.
We got to get Chicken Little.
Chicken Little just kills both of them.
Oh my god, I'm crying.
You drop the sky on him.
In the game.
Oh my god.
Yeah, Kingdom Hearts 2 came out in 2006. Yeah, you're right. But also, the parks were sort of going through a rough patch in the 2000s. We mentioned a lot of stuff they did, but this is right around the time of the Hong Kong Disneyland opening. It's also in the Imagineering story, but that was a total disaster. They had, like, the benches were, like, sinking into the asphalt on opening day, and, like, the crowds were being overheated. Also, you can check out Kevin Perger's video on it as well as part of Season 2 of Defunct Land. It's very good. But to talk about it,
amazing finale to Season 2.
It's so good, but it kind of gives you an idea of, like, yeah, it did not go well. A few years before this, we also get a ride called Mission Space. I know, Matt, you have no feelings on that ride whatsoever.
Yeah, but, zero feelings. Not at all.
It did replace probably one of the coolest rides of all time, Horizons. But yeah, we also get the addition of Jack Sparrow in the Pirates of the Caribbean rides across both parks. Which a lot of people will argue whether or not that was a good thing. Some people have mixed feelings on it. I think now, knowing the current history of Johnny Depp, people are like, get it out of there.
Another thing to note around this time is the worst ride ever created by Disney got,
I think you're about to say
finally,
it, and I think Jared
reskinned. And when I say reskin, I really mean reskin. Rethemed to Monsters Inc. Mike and Sully to the Rescue.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought you were talking about the worst ride of all time, which I was going to say.
Oh.
Jared, a few months before this, maybe the worst experience you've ever had in your life. Jared, take it away.
I can tell that story. So it was, I guess it was the Lilo and Stitch ride. And the problem was we waited.
Wait,
it was like another one of these like 4D adventure things.
Stitch's Great Escape.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a lot of situational things going into this, but like it was.
God.
It was like near the end of the day, and it was like a 5-minute wait. So we were just like, yeah, okay, we might as well do that.
Oh, I'm so
but then
sorry.
You sit in these chairs with like the cinder blocks on your shoulders to hold you in place. And so that you can't
the
move
restraints.
When Stitch pees and poops on you. And they're like spraying funk gas that are like, Stitch farted in the room. Uh-huh. And then, you know, he's running around and the cinder blocks jam down your shoulders because he's running across, and then they just let you out. It's like, okay, what did I do that for? And then for dinner in the park, the food I got, I could only smell Stitch's farts.
Oh no.
And so I was just like, okay, I just paid, you know, $20 for yogurt. That's the only thing I could.
It was like chili cheese smell or something like that.
Yeah, chili dog or something. I will say it is an impressive animatronic, but that's pretty much it.
Sure, but just like let us leave.
No,
like,
Jared,
just walk us through a room with the animatronic, then we get to go.
Have you ever?
No,
have
that
you,
was not a great.
Have you ever seen? Defunctland also did a video on this. Have you ever seen the attraction that used to be there?
Brett, I think I've heard you talk about it. Before.
It's sort of a bigger, sort of an easier thing, but it's extraterrestrial was essentially like. Let's just say that Stitch's Great Escape is the tame version of extraterrestrial.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's frightening. It's awesome. Check it out. It's something that it's like, please bring it back because that space is empty.
It's
right
crazy
now.
Too, because like it's Disney and George Lucas teaming up to make a ride because they couldn't get the rights to Alien. And when you watch the ride, you're like, oh yeah, this is clearly all of those things fused together.
Yeah. And all of the Imagineers who worked on it were like, we were literally trying to make like the scariest ride possible. So check it out. We also got Expedition Everest though in 2006. So it's not everything bad came out of this time period, which also shows up in V&K Expedition Everest.
I remember like commercials on the Disney Channel that were like for Expedition Everest.
Yeah.
You guys remember that? Like, just commercials about the theme park, and it's like, we have a new ride.
I remember the Travel Channel documentary about it, and the whole way through, they were hyping up, like, we'll stay to the end, because you can see the tallest animatronic ever built.
The biggest animatronic, Yeti.
Yes.
Which is stuck on disco mode, everybody, because it is stuck there. and it is stuck inside like the interior of the building. Like it was moving and it was like about to break the entire mountain. So they've had it stuck in a B mode, which is just like standing there. And they put strobe lights on it to make it look like it's coming towards you, but it's not.
Wow. I have a tweet that's like in my drafts. That's like Walt Disney World people always trying to dunk on Disneyland. At least we have a working Yeti. We have three working Yetis.
That's true. That is so true. It also should be noted also around this time that Universal around the time also opened Revenge of the Mummy at Orlando in Florida, and also a guilty pleasure favorite of my ride, which is Disaster! Exclamation point, dot, 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 a motion picture ride starring, comma, you.
Really? I didn't know that those two opened up both during that time.
I think Mummy was like a few years beforehand. Alejandro, we were just talking about that ride. Is that your favorite ride?
Which one?
The Mummy?
Oh, the Mummy? Oh, yeah. I think so. Like, at least at Orlando, because that one's an Orlando one,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Universal
they
Orlando.
They have one in Hollywood. It is lame compared to the Orlando one.
Yeah,
it's lame.
The Mummy in Orlando is in my top 10 favorite rides ever.
Definitely.
Should we go around maybe real quick? Do you guys have, like, maybe, I mean, it might be harder for some of us, but, like, maybe, like, favorite ride?
Ooh.
Jarrett?
I do love Space Mountain.
Which one?
I do really love Space Mountain. Or the Orlando
Space
one.
Space Mountain one.
The Orlando one has some extra theming that's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I guess the more recent one I've been to is Disneyland, but they both are good.
Okay.
Space Mountain's good.
They have different harnesses too.
If we're going to count Rock and Roller Coaster, I do like Rock and Roller Coaster.
I've always wanted to ride Rock and Roller Coaster.
Yeah. You go from 0 to 70 miles an hour in like a fraction of a second.
Nuts.
I think it's still like
launch you.
I think it's still like the fastest launch.
And that's right where they take the picture too.
Wow,
so
really?
You just like you get in and you just start and you're just bolted out and it's flash immediately.
You get that fake. You get the fake out from Steven Tyler who's counting down 3, 2, 1, but they do it on like 2.
Yeah.
So you just go when you're not expecting it.
That ride is pretty great.
Alejandro, would you say the Mummy?
The Mummy, yeah, but in terms of like Disney specifically, maybe Avatar. I don't know. It's the only one that comes to mind right now.
Flight of Passage.
Yeah,
but
there was this time I went to Space Mountain in New Year's, and so I was able to go on it like 5 times in a row because no one was there.
That is a helpful tip I've heard is that if you want, especially in Florida, the best day in the whole world to go is Super Bowl Sunday because nobody's at the parks.
That is the opposite in Disneyland. Everyone goes to Disneyland on Super Bowl Sunday.
Since it's a different type of culture where they're like, why do I care about NFL?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Matt? Do you have a favorite ride? I mean, that might be hard for you.
Oh, no, easy. Currently, favorite ride, and in my opinion, the best ride in the world is Hagrid's Motorbike Adventure at Islands of Adventure.
I still have not done it. I'm going in April, so I'm going to check it out.
It is the most fun ride I've ever been on. Like,
it looks
like I've never been on a ride where, like, I just. I was having so much fun that like my body just took over and I just threw my hands up in the air and just went woo, and it was amazing. My
awesome.
Favorite like
I can't wait.
One of my favorite Disneyland rides ever, or just Disney rides ever, is I gotta say, I'm going really nerdy here, but like original Star Tours. Gonna be real specific.
Rex.
Original Star Tours, in my opinion, is still the best Star Wars attraction that Disney has ever made. They have not topped it.
Overrides
Resistance. It even overrides the Resistance. Okay. I'm not a fan of Rise of Resistance. I think original Star Wars is better. it just captures that Star Wars feeling better, in my opinion. And it has one of the best, kind of like how Spider-Man in Islands of Adventure,
Universal.
It starts off with, you know, like, this could be the most dangerous night of my life and yours. Like, the best way to, like, pull you into an attraction. Mm-hmm. Star Tours has one of the best examples of that when Rex goes, okay, I've always wanted to do this. We're going in. And the music's kicking up.
Right.
And you go and do the trench run. Like, come on.
Oh, man.
That blew my mind as a kid.
It's... Oh, yeah. I love good Star Tours. I guess I didn't go. I've been to Tokyo DisneySea more times than any other park, and I have to give it to Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Rad.
Or their version of Indiana Jones is very
good. I've always wanted to go on their version, especially because I want to see that fireball effect.
Yes, that will blow your mind. If you've been on the one in Disneyland, it's pretty similar to the one in Disneyland, other than when you get up to a very realistic Harrison Ford animatronic, he just goes, "Get about the door, Shinderu," and you're like, wait a minute, what? It looks so much like him, and then it's like, well, that's not him. And also just, there's a bunch of extra effects. So that
basically, when you watch the ride-throughs, the Disneyland one is red, the Tokyo one is blue. And when you watch the videos, you know exactly what I mean.
Yeah, definitely check it out. So going back to VMK, just sort of talk about the end of it a little bit. It's interesting because, so pretty much why it ended was, it was never intended to be more than just a one-year experience to help celebrate the 50th anniversary of Disneyland. They did extend it out until May 21st, 2008. But the fact that it was truly a free online experience, there was no loot boxes, no microtransactions. It was a totally free experience, no subscription costs. Made it so unique that it was pretty much unsustainable to be able to put new stuff out and new elements every month.
Especially since it was so heavily modded, because it was trying to be safe kids who were in it. So they had to approve names. Mm-hmm. They could only use certain chat features.
Yeah, heavily moderated, and also lots of servers.
Right. And the other two MMOs that Disney was running at the time was Club Penguin and Toontown Online, which both actually had real money payment systems and also lasted longer. And so, like, it just wasn't sustainable enough to continue doing
it. It's really unfair in the case of VMK's part, because VMK, in my opinion, at the time and still now, was a better experience than Club Penguin and Toontown Online. Mm-hmm. And it just needed a little bit of investing. And yeah, exactly. Like, just some form of a membership or microtransactions or anything like that. And it could have really flourished into something really cool. And it could have lasted a long time, in my opinion. The biggest mistake that they made with VMK, though, was not making it clear that it was a limited time offering, or that it was part of part of the 50th anniversary celebration. Because I can tell you that at the time, nobody knew that. Nobody knew that.
Mm. Right. Mm. It seemed like they had announced that it was closing, and then they were like, no new accounts can be made on this. It's about to close. And everyone's like, wait, what are you talking about? I spent all this time like building up credits and everything, and now it's all just going to go away?
Yeah, super, super sad.
So even to the point that there was petitions made that went out that said Save V&K with over 20,000 signatures.
It was talked about on the news.
Yeah, yeah. On the news, there was literally, in the same Expedition Theme Park video, there's a video of a guy going like, the Magic Kingdom is closing. Nope, not that one. Gotcha. No, he doesn't say that, but...
There was actual protesters at the park.
There were protesters.
I read the article on that. It's pretty sad because some of the petitions were made were said, the year of a million broken dreams. And then even worse, there was a protest sign that said Disney unplugs over a million kids. Which is so dark.
The Matrix. And, like,
you are taking this way too far. But yeah, there's a lot of virtual friendships that were unfortunately lost and had all this hard work made through the virtual offerings online. It was just more detailed and filled with than most and more exciting than a lot of other online games at the time, especially other MMOs.
I want to shout out, since we're talking about like kid MMOs from the 2000s closing, there's an amazing short film that's on Vimeo that is definitely worth everyone's time to check out. It's called Waddle On. And it's about the closing of Club Penguin from the perspective of someone playing. And they took like a bunch of creative liberties with it and stuff. And they made something honestly really special that has like left an impact on me. I think about the short film all the time. It's so great.
It's interesting that you bring that up because it feels like the end of Club Penguin has turned into such a meme, especially like now on Twitter. There's a lot of "you had to be there" stuff going around.
Right, that's the new thing going on right now.
Yeah, We're recording this in February for people who are wondering. But yeah, it's very sad that they kind of ended it. But we have things now like MyVMK that have kind of come back and bring that back. And to be honest, it feels like we needed VMK now more than ever, especially during lockdown and quarantine. Like that would have been perfect.
They should have re-released it. But
yeah, I guess people had MyVMK, but it seems like that would have been the perfect time for it to come out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, MyVMK is a blast still, and it's really amazing. If you've never been on VMK, go on MyVMK because it is pretty much exactly how it was back then. Everything from the animation to the music, like it's perfect. It's a perfect recreation.
Obviously, they're getting like permission from Disney to do that, right? Because then isn't Disney super? But I thought Disney was like super strict with everything.
Disney is super
strict.
They'll
take down YouTube
videos when it comes to money.
Yeah.
The thing is, MyVMK is free. So, like, if anything is involving money, then they'll swoop in and be like, hey, you owe us a cent. But in this case,
or
it's free.
It also depends on how crappy the project is. For example, with, like, Escape from Tomorrow,
right,
which was a film that was made in Disney World and Land without their permission. Everyone was like, oh, my gosh, they shot a whole movie there. And then the movie came out, and it's a piece of garbage.
Yeah. That's why, like, with my last two documentaries, like, I'm not worried about anything because, like, they're just on YouTube.
So, yeah, one thing I just want to do right before we close is I just kind of want to get maybe a sort of a gather around. But, you know, Disney parks have changed so much in the past, you know, decade since VMK closed. And we've had, you know, some updates done, but it's 2021. Let's say, for example, Matt, they come up to you and they go, Matt, we love Helix. We love all the stuff that you're doing. We want you to create a 2021 version of VMK.
Oh my gosh. We want you
to put updated stuff. How would you do it? What would you do to, like, change up the parks? What would you add?
So are you asking what would I do to change the parks or, like, the parks in the game?
VMK, yeah, specifically. Because we could talk all day about how we would fix the real parks.
Man, that's a good question. Well, I think I would just play even more into the idea of VMK being this idealized version of the parks throughout time. But I think I would definitely lean more towards park-centric IP. So, like, for example, I like how in VMK's Tomorrowland, they don't have Star Tours. They have Adventures Through Inner Space, which was the ride that was there beforehand.
Right.
So I think I would play into more of that. Like, I think it would be fun to have in Frontierland the Country Bear Jamboree. That would be super fun to have. And other than that, I think definitely more rides to ride on. Because just having Peter Pan and Alice in Wonderland is repetitive. Those are the things that I would focus on. Because other than that, like, the BMK model is pretty perfect. Like, if you just update it and, like I said, like, put a little money into it, update it, and then do what they were doing in the past of, like, having a physical aspect to going into the parks, it would be so fun. Like, honestly, if I were to pitch a VMK replacement today, it would be, look, take the Pokemon Go model and put that into VMK so that there's actually rewards and interactivity, not just in Galaxy's Edge, but throughout the whole park.
So you would, like, want to turn it into an app more too?
Totally. But then also, like, have it be able to play, like, on a desktop as well for anyone that would want to play it on a desktop.
Yeah, because a lot of what they've been saying in terms of, like, the death of the Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom and also VMK is that they want to be able to add more stuff to the Disney Play app, which you can do with, like, the Star Wars Galaxy Edge has its stuff. But it's been pretty lackluster, so being able to have something like that would be really cool.
Because, like, think of, like, how cool, like, everything that we've described to you guys is of, like, yeah, like, you could literally, like, fight a Disney villain, like, through, like, a window in the park or how, like, VMK, like, you could answer trivia and get real items for the game. Now what they have is, like, it could be cool, but it's so lame. Like, there's a game you can play in Toy Story Midway Mania, and the payoff is you can set off, like, an air trap above a poster in the queue, and if anyone's standing there, they get blasted by air.
Yeah, you're right.
So it's a huge downgrade from what it used to be. But there's the potential is there. They are sure. Obviously like trying to do some cool stuff with it. Like, I think my favorite thing is like the interactive stuff in the parks that you can like actually see for yourself, like changing. Like, for example, in the Peter Pan queue, you can do a game, and then the payoff to the game is there's a lantern in the corner of the queue, and you hit a button, and all of a sudden the lantern, like, it looks like it fades away, and there's a miniature Tinkerbell like trapped in the lantern.
Yes.
And then after a few seconds, it covers up again and you can't see her again. Or when you walk around Galaxy's Edge and you do little mini games, and then you can like make a sound go off on the X-Wing, or like make like a engine turn off. It's just all the stuff that is like, oh man, the potential is there, but you did the lamest stuff with it.
Sure. I agree with that. Anybody else have any ideas what you would add?
Well, I was just, I mean, mentioning the Pokemon Go thing is where my mind went, is like, if you had these battles, think of like, you know, the gyms and Pokestops, like gyms being battles with Disney villains, like somewhere, and you can team up with people around stuff like that. My mind went straight to Pokemon Go, because that's just like the perfect version of like a phone interactive thing nowadays.
Right, exactly. Or even like the hidden Mickey stuff that they already have, integrating some sort of that. Yeah, to really explore the park and try to find stuff would be cool.
Yeah, instead of walking around and the map being like where you are, you can make the map be Disney Park. So I'd be walking around like, you know, the apartment complex or whatever, and you're like in a I don't know logistically how you do that.
But I have a fun idea of something you can do using that AR technology. Something that would be really fun to do would be like, let's say you're walking in Galaxy's Edge and you hear like a crate and you can feel it vibrating and you can hear a sound coming out of it. If you do like a mini game correctly and you hold your phone up to like a code on the box will like dissolve away on your phone and you can see that there's an alien trapped inside.
That would be sick.
And that can't be hard to integrate. It can't be hard to integrate at all.
Yeah. That stuff would be really cool. And I think definitely what they were looking for. These are all free ideas, by the way, Disney. The only thing, like, I think most everything, I would kind of agree with you guys. The only thing I would want to add is I would want to add this ring in the middle of a lake that's permanently there, and just keep it there, and just kind of just block away all the facades so that you just have it anywhere in the menu. For those who don't know, Epcot has just added a giant projection ring that they're put permanently in the middle of the lake for their new show Harmonious, that is coming soon.
And it looks like a scary Marvel villain's super weapon.
Right. It looks like it's going to a giant purple void is going to come out of it and become a giant portal.
It does not look good in daylight.
No. And the fact that it's like, it just being there all day when you're like, wow, look at the beautiful, like, I can see all the world pavilions. Nope, you can't see that anymore. And you got this in the way. So it's not moving and it's going to stay there. Who knows? It might be a really cool show for all I know. It hasn't come out yet.
I can't wait for it not to be a cool show. It to just be just the shittiest looking things stuck in the middle of the lake all day.
Yes.
Because at least with World of Color, like at least with World of Color and right. DCA, where like, you know, the views looking out like aren't ruined by the World of Color pipes being there. Like, sure, you can see them. But, like, most of the time, they actually have, like, water running out of them. So it's like, oh, whatever. Exactly. They just look like waterworks. This just looks like a weapon.
I also got that, and I also got, like, I went to a Nitro Circus BMX show kind of vibes. To go off of that, also shout out to Kevin Perger and Blog Mickey. Sort of this kind of vibe. a bunch of flames.
They should definitely do
like,
that.
Like, unless that happens, I don't want it.
Yeah.
I mean, I would see this, but I would only be like a one-time thing that was like, wow, that was cool.
I would absolutely watch Goofy jump through a ring of fire.
on a motorcycle. But it does feel sort of like a Six Flags thing rather than...
If I was drunk at Epcot... Sorry, let me change that. Next time that I'm at Epcot, I would cry laughing just every time that I saw that happen.
Oh my gosh. Any other thoughts? Closing thoughts, anybody? Want to add anything to the end?
No, it just feels like the Virtual Magic Kingdom would have been an absolute smash now. Oh, yeah, or if right. they had found a way to keep it going, it certainly would have probably continued to thrive. Yeah.
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 Because like I said, like they have everything there set up to do something like this or something even cooler than this. Now they have all of the technology. They have all the, like they have the Play Disney app, and they could definitely do something cool with that Play Disney app. But I don't know. It's weird. Unless it makes money for them, like Disney does not care to do anything out of the box and extra. So if they just figured out a way to do like microtransactions or merch that you had to buy, like I'd say do it because I would be a total sucker for it.
How do you think the like fan base would react to something like that? Would they?
Oh, they eat it up. Accept it.
Yeah,
oh,
they'd be. They like anything that like isn't there anymore, and they'll be like, "What? It's coming back? Yeah."
Oh, so, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I think that kind of wraps everything up. Well, Matt, you are a guest on Most Extreme Podcast. That means you get a prize for bearing through this. No, just for coming on the show. So what I have for you.
Oh, my God. I'm nervous.
I happen to have bought the last of these quests from VMK that are still around on eBay.
You did?
So these are coming to you. You are getting both a Pirates of the Caribbean treasure hunt quest and also the Finding Nemo submarine voyage quest.
I'm literally putting that up like in my display that I have behind me over here.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, and they'll put in some other extra goodies in there for you as well. But thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anything we can help you promote? Anything you got coming up?
Go watch Live from the Space Stage, A Halix Story on YouTube. Or you can also check out, like you were saying before, my other documentary, Remain Seated, Please. It's on my YouTube channel titled My Name, Matthew Serrano.
Yeah. And anywhere else we can find you, maybe on social or anything?
Anybody sure. Yeah. I'm on Instagram at Matthew_Serrano, and I'm on Twitter at Matthew G. Serrano. So go follow me on there.
Awesome. Well, anything else we have to add, boys?
No, just great to talk with you, Matt. Thanks for coming.
Thank you, guys. It was awesome.
And if you can always follow us on both Twitter and Instagram with the handle, Most Extreme Pod. There's no E in extreme at the beginning. And you can, if you have any questions or if you have any things you want to talk about in general, email us at mostextremepodcast@gmail.com. We will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.